Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is daf Pechet, and we're still holding at the Gemara following the Mishnah which began our new perek of Ha'isha. So remember that the Mishnah introduced us to the idea of how we could actually rely on an Eid Echad, and in the event that a woman's husband went missing, if an Eid Echad said that he died, so then she can get reshus from Beis Din to remarry. We didn't understand where that came from, what right Beis Din has to give her that reshus. But the Mishnah defines the difference between a case where there were two Eidim and a case where there was one Eid. So in the event that she got married with the reshus of Beis Din, with the one Eid, so then there's all types of terrible things that she's going to have to suffer in the event that her husband comes back. And he ends up being alive and not, as she relied, that he was dead. So because of that, we have all kinds of things. And actually, we went through 16 different things that are affected by the fact that she got married on the basis of one witness. First of all, she has to be Yotze from both of them. Secondly, she needs a get from both of them. Thirdly, she has no ksuva from either of them. Fourthly, she doesn't get any kind of peros, meaning that anything that they ate from her nechse maluk does not have to be paid for. Fifthly, she does not get, if she had to borrow money for support and so on, they don't have to pay it back and she's in big trouble. Sixthly, she doesn't get bilaot, so if things were worn out, too bad for her. Seventh, disaster. Children from both husbands from this point on, and of course from the second husband from whenever, are considered to be mamzerin. Okay, that's seventh. Eighth, neither of her husbands are mitamate in the basic forest of the Kohanim, so they can't go to her funeral. There's no din of the mitzia, is number nine. Number ten is that because there was no mezainas, there's no rights to her money. 11 is that there's no hafaras nidorim. 12 is that she becomes pasul from the kuhuna. 13th is, according to Rabbi Meir at least, that if she's a bas levi, she ends up losing her rights to maaser. 14th is that if she's a bas kohen, she loses her rights to truma. 15th is that there's no ksuvas benin dichrin. So then that means that if she died before the husband and there's things that were hers, they don't go to her children, but Dafka, they go to all of his children. And the 16th thing was that neither of the cases is there Yibun. In both cases, there's Chalitza, but she doesn't get a chance for Yibun. In any event, that was the din with the single aid. Now, the case where there are two Aiden is completely different, because over there, she did not get married with Rishus, meaning she didn't get married with Rishus of Beis Din. She got married because she was relying on two witnesses. And therefore, it's a completely different situation. Now, we also said another issue is that if she would be chayav in a korban because she was mizana with somebody else, if she relied on Beis Din, she would not be chayav in a korban chatas, even though she slept with someone else. And that's because that a yochid that was actually being semech on a Beis Din, according to this Mishnah, which we don't paskin like, but a yochid she'asal pi Beis Din does not bring a korban. So in one way, there's an advantage to her having relied on the heter of the Beis Din with the Eid Echad. And in the other way, there are many advantages, including her ability to go back to her original husband if she had relied on two Eidim. That was the Mishnah that we had yesterday. Now, today, we'd like to know where in the world we get the right to ignore the dinim of Eidus and to suddenly allow a woman to get married on the basis of an Eid Echad, which seems to go against the Torah. So, says the Gemara, first let's analyze what the case is. Is the case, I mean, it does, the Mishnah opened up with the words, they said, right? So, they were the ones, Amrulo, is they literally they, or they is, you know, they say out there, meaning somebody said so. Well, let's take a look at the Seifa. The Seifa, Mdiktani Seifa, Nisei Chilo Brushut, Muteret Lachzor Lo, that if she got married without permission, what do you mean without permission? You mean if she did even worse then she's allowed to go back? Obviously, that's not what it means. It means if she got married without needing permission. So in other words, it means shelo b'reshut beit din. It's just that she established that her husband was dead in reality. What would that case be? That two witnesses come. So when two witnesses come, over there she has every right to go ahead and to get married. And if she did, so then it's not her fault that it turned out these witnesses were lying. And therefore she could even stay with her husband, right? She'd go back to her original husband. But then that means that when we said in the Reisha that she has to leave her husband and all the other things that happen, that's because it's talking about that it was Rishus. What Rishus? Meaning the Rishus of Bezdin that was based on an Eid Echad. And that's why she needed to go to Bezdin, because she can't make that determination on her own, because it wasn't a real determination of the facts. So then what does that mean? Does that mean that in reality, an Eid Echad has sufficient ne'emanut that he can allow a woman who was married to marry someone else? And we have other indications that, yes, there is such a thing, because Tana Nani, we're going to see later on in the Mishnah, that it became a Dover Pashit in Klal Yisrael, that Huzuko Liot Masi'in Api Eid Echad. You would be allowed to permit the woman to go to another husband on the basis of one witness, even if the witness wasn't kosher. It could be a woman, and this woman had heard from another woman, so not only was it an aid possible, it was an aid BP aid, which normally is not good. And even in the case that the woman was relying on an eved or a shivcha, I mean, this means that an aid echad is ne'eman. And where does that come from? I'll show you another Mishnah that also seems to say the same thing, and that's the Mishnah in Krisus that's talking about the chiyuv of bringing a chatas. And it says over there, if one eid says to a person, listen, you ate chalev, and therefore you have to bring a carbon. And the guy says, I definitely did not. That thing that you saw me eat, I know where it came from, the animal, and it was kosher meat. So he's potter from bringing a chatas. Now, here's why I think this backs me up on saying that an eid echad is nema. Because suppose the guy doesn't say, no, I didn't. Right? So he doesn't really know. So he can't tell the aid, oh, I definitely did not eat chela. So then apparently he would have to bring a karma. Ha'ishtik me'eman. How can an eid echad tell us to bring chulin la'azara? And I mean, he doesn't know he's really chayven a karma. It's an iser to bring a carbon, and then what, we're going to have the kohen and eat this carbon, and they're eating, I mean, this is a disaster. They're eating iser, he's bringing iser, and all of this is being done. Al pi eid echad. What right do we have to listen to the eid echad? So it must be alma eid echad me'aman. You see again, that we believe in eid echad. Where do we know that we can do that, midiraisa, because we're being mater nisr diraisa? Show me a basis in the Torah for listening to an eid echad. D'tanya, let's take a look at the sugya that we just had in Krisus about chat, bringing a chat. So it says over there, O hoda elav chatato. Now, hoda elav chatato means that he has to know that he did something wrong. Velogio di'uhu acherim. But he can't bring a chat that's based on other people telling him. So that you think that that means that if people say you're chayav a chatas, that even though he doesn't say otherwise, he doesn't disagree. So somebody tells him you need to bring a carbon, you ate a piece of chalev, you might think that you should just ignore it. No, because it says in the same pasuk, not only elav, but it says hoda. Let's say no da. Hoda elav chatato. That's very passive, right? It became known. What does that mean? It means even from the outside. So it means we have basically contradiction. On one side, the Torah is stressing a love. He has to internalize the fact that he ate this chalev. On the other hand, it does not mean that it has to be an internal yediyah. It becomes known through external sources. So what does that mean? Well, Echidami, says the Gemara, what is the Braita telling me? I mean, if we're talking about two witnesses coming along, and what? He doesn't say anything. So what would I think? That what? I need a pasuk to tell me that in that case, if I'm not makrish, the hodai love includes two witnesses, and that's called knowing? Obviously, it's called knowing. I don't need a pasuk for that if it, two witnesses are machayev you anything. Elalav. So apparently the Brisa is talking about one witness. And it's saying that if he doesn't get up and say, no, it's not true, so he does not in any way disagree that they are enough. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean that the idea over here is that he is absolutely believed, because then there wouldn't be a difference between one witness and two witnesses, of course, right? But you see that there is sufficient belief to go ahead and be over on an Isser D'oraisa, to bring Chulin La'azora, and for Kohanim to eat it, and so on and so forth. So L'chora, we see from here that the Torah says, Hodai Lav Ayedei Eid Echad is okay. Yeah, but how does that prove anything? Maybe the reason over there is that he didn't argue. He was quiet. And it's not because we accept the Eidus. It's because that we see that the person suspects, at least, that the aid is right. And it's because of shtika kohoda adamya. Remember, you said that we have a contradiction, that there has to be an internal awareness of his having sinned in order for him to bring a chatas, and not that it comes from the outside. So then you said that if it's an aid echad and he doesn't disagree with the aid echad, then that's included in the hodai lav chatato, which proves that the Eid Echad is accepted and is believed. How do you know it's because it's believed? Maybe it's simply because, now here's the way Tosus explains this, that shtika kohoda'a does not mean he definitely knows, and it's as if he said, yes, I did eat this chalev, and therefore I have to bring a korban, and will be mechayvim a korban. It means that he suspects that there are indications that, yeah, you know what? It was definitely something funny about that. So, okay, if you say it was chalev, now I understand it was on the wrong count or whatever, right? Then that is sufficient for it to be considered his own awareness of sin, not because an aid is neman. And the Torah said that when you become aware of sin, you bring a chatas. So he's aware enough of sin. It's true, he's only aware enough because he was reminded by this aid, but it's not because the aid is specifically neman. But over here, what are we going to say? That the aid is Nema because the woman was quiet and she didn't say, no, my husband is, I mean, that's not, she doesn't know anything about it. That's the whole point. She's completely in the dark. An aid echad comes and the bezin is going to be matir on the base. Where? We can't derive that from the chiyuv of chatas. And it must be, actually, you know what? How did we miss this? The din of aid echad must be, says the Gemara, because it's a shtika kohoda'a issue and not a din in the idea over here of nemonis to be able to bring an iser to the Beis HaMikdash. Because take a look at that Mishnah that we were medayek in Krisis about Omrulo. The end of that Mishnah continues on to say that if Omru Shnaim achal techelev, if two people come along and say you ate chelev and he says, no, it's not true, then he's patur. And in that case, Rabbi Meir says, no. I mean, why would he be patur? If two witnesses say that he ate, so that's an objective reality, isn't it? I mean, isn't it a kal v'chomer? If two witnesses came and said that he ate something, let's say he would have done something, if there's no such case, but that he ate something that he would be chayav misa on. So what, they wouldn't be believed that he's chayav misa? If they say he killed somebody, he's chayav misa. How do we believe two people he's chayav misa, but we don't believe two people that he's chayav a carbon? This makes sense to you, says Rabbi Meir. So obviously, if there's two people, he has to be believed. It's a kal v'chomer. Im yiviyu shnayim lidei mita chamura lo v'yaviyu lidei korban akal. Of course, they'll be chayav him a carbon. They're saying the fact is that you ate something that's chayav a carbon. Amru lo, said the chachamim. Excuse me. What if the guy would have wanted to say, yes, I ate it, but I knew perfectly well that it was chalev, and I wanted to eat the chalev. So is he chayev a korban? No. Can the aid disagree and say, no, we know that you weren't in? Of course they can't disagree. So in this case, basically, he can easily be makrish the edim because he has a migo to say that I ate it and I ate it on purpose. And the truth is that we, as Tosus understands again this sugya, we construe what he's saying to mean that, even though that's not what he says, right? I mean, you'd say, if he says I didn't eat it, isn't he saying that I didn't eat it at all? So therefore, he doesn't have the migo to say, I did eat it, but it was bemezid. It means we construe, because otherwise it'd be a migo b'makamedim, right? So it means we construe what he's saying as, I didn't eat it in a way that would be mechayev me a carbon. Fine. So that's why we argue with Rabbi Meir. And im yirtzeh lomar mezid ayiti, that's why he believes, right? Okay, that makes sense, but they're only arguing. The Chachom and Rabbi Meir, we're only arguing in the case in the Sefer where he disagrees with two witnesses. But that means that in the first case, where he says to one witness, no, I didn't, that in that case, that he does not bring a chatas, which means that they agree with what the Mishnah said, that what's the implication of that case? That if he wouldn't have disagreed with the witness, and he would have just been quiet, that we would have brought a chatas, right? So if in this first case over here, why would the Rabbanan say that? So my time of Kamer Chayve Rabbanan. The first case was it was one witness, and it wasn't the first case, it was the implication of first case. But we see they don't argue on that implication. The implication was if he doesn't disagree, then we believe the witness. Now tell me what you think the mission means when it says we believe the mission. The Eidus. Yilema Bishum de Mehema. Is it because we believe the witness against him? No. Because normally what's the halacha? If you disagree with what two witnesses say you murdered someone and you say, no, I didn't. So do we listen to you who says, no, I didn't? No. So it makes no difference to us what the defendant has to say, right? And now all of a sudden in this case, it does make a difference what the defendant says. So therefore, normally the din with two witnesses is that we believe two witnesses against the defendant. And nonetheless, the Rabbanan pater him. So obviously, we're not going to believe one witness. So it has nothing to do with belief. It has to do with the fact that the guy didn't respond, which means that apparently he is ready to accede to the fact that he ate chaylev. That's all. Which is because of shtika koda. El alav mishum de ishtik v'shtik ishtik and shtika koda damya. And that proves that the issue here is not ne'emanut. The issue here is that they brought things to a head in such a way that now the guy was mechayev himself a korban. That's all. But what does that have to do with our case? Our case is saying that a Beis Din has a right to rely on an Eid Echad. How does Beis Din have a right to rely on an Eid Echad? Okay, you know what? The truth is we do not have a basis in the Torah for relying on an Eid Echad. But it's a simple svara. I mean, look, isn't it true that we're always relying on a single witness? Everything that we do is relying on a single witness. I mean, imagine a case like this. Well, I have a piece of meat. I don't know if it's kosher or it's not kosher. Somebody comes and says, well, I know it's kosher meat. So don't we eat it? I mean, everything that we do is based on that yesod. I mean, like we find by Anita, as Tosis points out, for Safra Allah. You know, okay, so she is believed to say, I am Anita, I'm not Anita. How do you believe in Eid Echad? She is Anita or not Anita? How do you go eat by somebody because he tells you, listen, the meat is kosher, it's so-and-so's heksher. Maybe the guy's lying. How can you rely on an Eid Echad in any way? So it's obvious that the whole Torah is based on accepting the fact that somebody tells you something when there's no reason to doubt him. So we believe him. So same thing is true over here. What are you, crazy? What's the comparison? In a case where you don't know anything and somebody is telling you something that you don't know, why shouldn't you believe them? But over here, you do know. You know that this woman was married. It was already his chazik isura. She's a married woman. Now you come to change her status and say, I know that she's not married because her husband died. I mean, that's not the same. Hatam lo itchazik isura, hocha itchazik isura de ish es ish. How do you know that a witness, you don't have to aid him, a witness, the aid echad is sufficient to take off the isur of ish es ish. That's first of all. Now I've got a bigger problem for you. This is the way most of the Rishonim learn. The bigger problem is that we know that any issue that has to do with arayot needs two witnesses. We learn that out from a beferish of pasuk. Because when it comes to monetary issues, where we need absolute proof in order to be motzi mama, so over there the Torah says, al pi shnei edim yakum davar. But in the case where we were talking about arayos, where over there it says that by the get, ki matzaba ervat davar. What do you mean ervat davar? So that ervat davar is the yakum davar. The same idea of the gzereshava, al pi shnei edim yakum davar. You want to create a situation that is going to reflect on dinim of arayot, you need absolute two witnesses. You can't do anything without two witnesses. So even if we would find somewhere else that there was a heter to listen to an eid echad, how would we be allowed to do that in an inyan erev? So there's two inyanim here. First of all, I disagree, right? I don't see any basis for relying in any case for on an eid echad. Not in the case of the bringing of carbon and chulun nazar, not in any other case, unless I don't know. But if I need to find out something that changes the status, I haven't seen you bring me any proof at all. And secondly, even if you do bring me a proof, how would I be able to apply that proof to the case of an erva, where over there the Torah says, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar? So the Mishnah makes absolutely no sense. How could Beis Din allow an eishes ish to get married based on one witness? It's nuts. I mean, if you want to compare this case to the case of Chelev, I'll tell you a case to compare it to. You've got a piece of Chelev that you know is a piece of Chelev. It's established it's a piece of Chelev. Witnesses saw where it came from, the animal. We have a piece of Vada Chelev. And now an Eid Echad shows up and says, I know that this is kosher meat. I mean, we'll laugh him out of the house. Thank you very much. You know, go see a doctor. So over there, he's not Naaman. So why should we believe an eid echad over here? We know that she was usher. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. That's silly. Obviously, it's not the same as that case. I mean, in that case, even if 100 witnesses would come and say, we know that it's kosher meat, we would also laugh them out of the house. Because once you've established something, al pi shnei edim, that it's usher, 100 edim are not going to come and change it by telling you it's mutter. But over here, if two witnesses would have come, of course they would have been believed. So all I'm asking you is, maybe the Mishnah seems to be saying that one is as good as two. That's all it's saying. And that's what we're looking for to bring a proof. I mean, don't try to compare it to a case where obviously we would not listen even to 100 witnesses. We're not going to listen to one witness. Of course not. So I want to know. We're up in the air. I don't have a source, not one way or the other. I mean, what you just said is not a source against me. And what you originally tried to prove is a source for me, which is that we rely on an eid echad where we don't know things. That doesn't prove anything to me. Or about the din of the carbon. That's because of shtika koda. So I don't know. What should we do? Without discussing the issue of ein davar she'erev apachus b'shnayim. Without that issue, let's talk about where we would get the idea b'chlal that anywhere an eid echad is believed. Well, I mean, there's plenty of cases, no? I mean, what about a case of tevel, or a case of hegdish, or a case of konamot? Konamot where somebody said, konem chaticha zo alai. So he makes a neder utilizing the lashon of konam. So over there, we rely on an eid echad. Okay, I don't know. I mean, you're throwing words out. I don't know what those words mean. I mean, if you'll tell me what the case is, maybe it's reasonable. When you say tevel, tell us the proof. What are we talking about, please? His own tevel? A guy owns a field, and he had tevel, and somebody is invited in to eat, and the guy says, listen, I took off Trumas and Meisters here. You can eat it, right? And that he's believed. We've already established that that's true. Almost. because we talked about a case where I don't know if something is kosher or not kosher. We'll believe in Eid Echad. Well, over here you'll say, but wait a minute. I mean, we know that Tevel is not kosher. So here we're allowing a guy to say, I took off Trumas and Maisers, right? So that means that we're relying on an Eid Echad to change the status of the Tevel that was definitely at one point usher, and it needed something to be done to make it kosher. And this guy says, I did it. So then we're going to believe him. Well, yes, that's true. But, I mean, if it's his own stuff, E.D. Davis, it's his own stuff, and he says, I did it, that's different. We will always believe a person in whose hand it is to take action to make something mutter when he says, I took action to make it mutter. But that's not the same thing as a witness that's coming to say, I know it is mutter. It's a witness that is able to make it mutter. So that's Mishum Debiyar Oletakno. Since it's up to him, it's his own tevel, he can make it kosher right now. So why shouldn't we believe him that he made it kosher? Marsheng, okay, so what you're talking about over here, apparently, tevel, somebody else's tevel. So somebody comes and tells you, you're in another guy's house, somebody comes and tells you, you know, this is kosher, you can rely on this guy that he took off Trumas and Maisers. I've seen him taking off the Trumas and Maisers, right? Well, if that's the case, I know exactly what I'm asking. How do you know? You're telling me, you know, because obviously you know. What kind of crazy thing is that? If somebody tells you he knows that a guy took off Trumas and Maisers, therefore you can rely on him. So that proves you can also rely on him if he says that a woman's husband died. I don't know of either case. It's exactly the same case. Unless you hold, look, if it belongs to somebody else, so what, just tell me what your opinion is. If you hold that I am allowed to take off Trumas and Maisers for another guy, right? So I'll go ahead and I will take off the Trumas and Maisers. Fine, so then that's the same issue. That's because you are capable of making it kosher. That's why we believe you. But if you hold that if you were Terei Mishalo Shavach Haveiro, it's not going to help because you need the Das Balim. And all the guy is saying is, I'm telling you, this guy is reliable. That's my question. He goofed me no one. How do I know that that is true? How do I know that an aide who has nothing of any power in the case can simply be believed to say something which is not in his hands to do anything about? That's the case over here. The aide is coming along and saying that I saw your husband die. So what are we going to say? That because he could have shot him, therefore he should be believed. So, okay, therefore it's not the same. All right, so I don't know what your big raya was from Tevel. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and we'll move on to your next big raya, okay? Your next big raya was Hegdash. I got the same problem with that. What kind of Hegdash are we talking about over here? Is it Kedushat Damim? So somebody gave something to the Beis HaMikdash. And an aide comes along and he says, I know that this is no longer Hegdash. Well, obviously, that's because he could have bought it off of Hegdash. Kedush is Damim. He simply go over to the Gizbar and you could say, I want to buy that, please, sir. And fine. So then it is Biyotcha. You could be paid it. If it's Kedushat HaGuf, so then who does it belong to? Meaning it's a carbon. Okay, whose carbon is it? If it's the aide's own carbon, that is the reason that he's allowed to say it's not Hegdash anymore, because it's in his hands to go to a Talmud Chacham and to say, listen, I made a mistake. I didn't really want to make it a carbon. I made it a carbon. I've changed my mind. Fine, you could be Shoyel on the Neder. So that's considered to be Biyado. So it must be, again, that it's some other witness who has nothing to do with the case, and he says, listen, I happen to know that the owner of this carbon was shoyel on his neder, and it's not Hegdash anymore, and therefore we can have a barbecue. So ane adana bedeicho more alai. That's the same case again. So you go for me, Nolan. I'm asking you, how do we know that that's true? And you're saying, we know it's true because it must be true. Thank you very much. So I'll still give you the benefit of the doubt, although I'm getting a lot more doubtful. You gave the third case of Konamot. Okay, fine. Let's talk about Konamot. Explain to me what you mean. What are these Konamot? If, remember, Konamot is where a guy said Konam, and Konam is a kinoi for the word carbon. So the guy says, Konam, chaticha zualai. It makes a piece of meat, let's say, into a kona. Now, there's big machlokas over there. Does that mean that he's literally making an hegdesh, and that's what makes it usr, or is he just borrowing the language, and he's saying the same way hegdesh would be usr on you, so too is this meat usr, right? Now, that is expressed in the machlokas about whether, in violating a konam, would you be chayev in me'ila? Because if you literally made it hegdesh, then you would be chayev in me'ila. If you don't, didn't literally make it hegdesh, you won't be chayev in me'ila. So let's talk about your opinion about these konamot, okay? If you hold that yesh me'ila bekonamot, why would that be? It would be because saying konam means, how can you make a TV set a konam? You can't bring a TV set to the carbon, right? So, I mean, obviously it doesn't mean that it's going to have kedushas aguf. It means that it will be the equivalent of, it's going to be kedusha, meaning it's also on you because it's kedushas dami. But if it's kedushas dami, then I can be poda kedushas dami. So if a guy has gotten sick of his binge watching and he says, konam TV ze alai, if you owe the yeshmi ilabe konamot, he can simply be poda it. So next time it costs him a few $100 to be poda this from Agdash in order for him to watch the next program. Okay, so he figures that should cool me down a little bit. Well, it doesn't really work. But let's say that's what it is. Okay, so then if that's the case, it's biyada livdoso. Then the reason we'll believe the witness is because it's up to him. If he wants to, he can be poda. So therefore, we must be talking about over here that the konam is actually the idea of, so it's Bishop the Yoel of Thor. If you hold a me'ila the konam out, and you hold that it's an isser, it's nothing to do with that, it's just using the term, and it's just an isser, the isser of the darim. So it's an isser of almo de rochiv le'akatfe. So he put on himself an isser for eating this. Okay, so is this the konam that he made? If it's his own konam, so he could always go to a Talmud Chacham, and he could be shayal on a konam like on any neder. So that's why he's believed. Bishop de biyada lishtuli alei. Ella must be, we're talking about over here, that the konam was made by somebody else, and the single witness comes along and says, I know that this guy went and he was shayal on this konam. But then how do I know I believe him? That's the same issue. If I don't know that the aide is believed to say her husband died, so I don't know this case either. So we're saying, I know it from the other case that I don't know. I'm just running around in circles here. So can we please discuss this intelligently? Okay, says Rabbi Zera, all right, we've lost all of our chances to bring a raya from the Torah. There's definitely no raya from the Torah that you trust one aide. That we've shown. We've seen from all of the standard cases that it has nothing to do with this case. The most we can prove is that we'll believe someone who is something is biyada. Okay, so that doesn't apply to our case. This case has nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with a takana de rabbana. Amar Rabbi Zera, mitoch chomer, shehichmarta aleha besofa, hekalta aleha betchila. The point over here is that the entire perek is based on the 16 things that are imposed upon her because of her believing the one witness. And therefore we say, look, if a woman is willing to go ahead and marry another guy, despite the fact that in the event that she made a mistake, the potential of her life is catastrophic, in terms of losing all of this, losing all the money that she had brought into these marriages, losing her ability to ever marry a kohen, losing her right to eat truma, having children that are mamzerim for bar mitzvah, it's awful. So therefore, since we put all those things on her, can you imagine? It's bad enough getting one get. Can you imagine what it is to get two gets? She needs a get from both of them. Oh, my God. I mean, this is a killer. So no woman is going to take a chance of marrying another guy where her husband may show up unless she is absolutely certain that that husband is not going to show up. And we trust the analysis, the investigation, and so on that she made, that it is so persuasive that there's no possible way that she would have done that. So that's why we believe her.
The certainty is on her, but what about the impression of the aide to make sure he's...
Please, you have to let me finish. We're still smack bang in the middle. So that's the reason, says the Gemara. Well, I mean, that's crazy. Why did we do this? Don't do all these horrible things to her, all those 16 things, and let her not get married. Don't believe her, and don't be makel on her, but don't do all of these chumras either. No, you don't understand. We have a vested interest here. Our vested interest is we cannot allow situations where a woman is going to be stuck in Igun, right? She's never going to be able to get married for the rest of her life because her husband disappeared. I mean, it's a horrific situation that anything that can be done to rectify the situation has to be done. Yikes. So I need a new chair. So therefore, we're looking for a mechanism to make that happen. So Mishum Iguna Ikilu Barabana. So we basically had no choice in the matter. Now, obviously, this is insufficient explanation. You're telling me, since we had no right, so we created an artificial situation where we'll believe in Eid Echad, we'll be Oiker and Isser D'Oraisa B'Hadayim, where the Torah said that it's Al Pishnei Adim Yakum Davar, and we'll be Matir Neshes Ish. I mean, what are you talking about? This is crazy. Just because I understand you have a vested interest. Okay. And I understand that you try to make it actually make sense. You know, well, she'll do a good job. She'll investigate. But this is not about doing a good job at all. So the question is, what is the mechanism that allows you to be oker a dover min hatera? This seems absolutely crazy. Now, there are four different approaches to this, basically, that I know of among the Rishonim. And that is, first of all, the Rambam's overall approach, which is very dramatic. And the Rambam's approach is that there is no din of Shnei Edim in the Torah at all, except under circumstances where the Torah has left you without any way of knowing something. And the Rambam actually speaks this out about our sugya. Here's the lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam says like this: Al yakshe be'enecha, it should not trouble you, shehitiru chachomim ha'erva ha'chamura, with an eid echad, an eidus isha, or an eved, or a shivcha. We even believe a goy who's mesiach lefituma, where he's not coming to, he doesn't know anything about, you know, this marriage. He's just coming to say, oh, what a shipwreck it was. We lost all of these people. I saw poor so-and-so Joe go down, and that was the end, and he drowned, etc., right? We believe all of that. How can we do that? Without drisha v'chakira, we believe aid me be aid. We believe aid in that are psulim. Don't let this trouble your little heart, says the Rambam. Why? Because lo hikpida Torah al ha'adat shnei edim v'shar mishpatei ha'edut. All of the story of edim, the number of edim, the drisha v'chakira of edim, and so on, is only to be applied b'davar she'en ata yochol la'amod al buryo ela mipi ha'edim ube'edutam. We're talking about things that have absolutely no way of being mevurar other than with witnesses. How are we going to know whether so-and-so lent somebody money? How are we going to know whether so-and-so murdered someone? And so on and so forth. Okay, over there, 100%. The Torah is giving you an alternative to knowing. But in something where the truth will out, the guy is going to show up if he's alive. One day, he's going to walk into the room. So over there, in Dover Shef Shalom, Oda Buryo, Shalom Yipi Ayedazer. And there'll be no way for the aid to say, well, I meant, here the guy walks in, right? So, ena aid yochol yishamet, ena davar emet. It's going to be clear that he lied. Like this case, where a guy says somebody's dead and he walks in alive. Lo ikpida Torah. The Torah did not demand the inyan of the shnei aidin at all. And it's a davar rochok shiyoid bo aid besheker, etc., etc. That's the Rambam's approach. Approach number one. A subtly different approach is Tosfos' approach. Tosfos here says that our real problem is not how we believe in Eid Echad. This is implicit in Tosfos. Our real problem is that the Rabbanan, maybe you'll say the Rabbanan could do what they like, but not if it's Oker Dover Min HaTorah, right? They can't be Oker Dover Min HaTorah. Says Tosfos, is this called Oker Dover Min HaTorah? No. Oker Dover Min HaTorah, where they're giving you reasonable and sound basis to say, listen, this is not a married woman. The guy's dead. 99%, he's dead. Then that's not called Oker Dover Min HaTorah. But the Torah says you need witnesses. Well, we're making a takana that you don't need witnesses. But how can you do that? You're being Oker Dover Min HaTorah. Oh, come on, Oker Dover Min HaTorah. Oker Dover Min HaTorah would be that I'm being matir and erev. I'm telling you the guy's dead. So therefore, it's not called Oker Dover Min HaTorah. It's a takana de rabbanan that I should allow it. That's all that it means. Excuse me one moment.
Pomerantz has it.
Sorry. So that is completely different. A beautiful approach, right? Okay. So now let's take a look at some of the other possibilities. Rashi says, not here, but Rashi says in the sugya, oh gosh, Rashi says in the sugya that the reason that we believe him is because it's very simple. The Chachomim are the ones that could give you any dinim that they would like to give you for Kiddushin. Why? Because when you say, Areyat Mekudeshet Li, Kiddat Moshe V'Yisrael, called the Mekadesh, Adai to the Rabbanan Mekadesh. And the Rabbanan said, this is the way we define Kiddushin. And in these circumstances, we're Oiker the Kiddushin L'mafreya, you're not even married. Okay, so then fine. Of course, that raises a little problem. If you're not even married, then why when he shows up, all of a sudden, does she have to go and leave the husband? I was never married to that guy. So you have to add a little bit of a kunz that the Rabbanan said that in the event that the woman actually did have this the proper investigation, then we're oiker, the Davar L'Mafreya. But if not, then we're not going to be oiker, the Davar L'Mafreya. So basically, it boils down to exactly what we ended up over here. The other approaches, the fourth approach, which is from a number of Rishonim, including the Milchamites, is that in the event that we have something that is osur lehitgalot, where there's a basis because of the machmirin aleha, and in this case by God, because of this takana, it's an anan sahade. Anan sahade means that it's essentially edus. We witness the fact that it's ridiculous to suspect that this guy is still alive. And therefore, we're relying on Edus. It's the equivalent of Edus. So Anan Sahade is the equivalent of Edut Gemura. Four totally different approaches, all of which that provide the mechanism of how we can possibly ignore Al Pishnei Edim, Yokum Davar, even though it's a Davar Sheva Erva, and therefore, we don't have any problem. Okay.
Thank you. Who was the fourth opinion? Sorry.
Among other Rishonim was the Bala Milchomets. Okay, fine. And there's plenty of others that hold the same thing, including the Ritva. Okay. So, Mishomi Guna, basically we're coming out with a takona, possibly based on the fact that the Rabbanan can define Kiddushin any way that they want. Now we enter into a completely new issue. Rav takes a look at the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that she has to leave say the first husband, the second husband, and okay, says Rav, wait a minute. This is only if she was married on the basis of one witness, but if you had two witnesses that the guy died, so then if he showed up, she doesn't have to leave. Well, of course, everybody burst out laughing. That's the most insane thing I ever heard. What are you talking about? The guy is here, walks into the room, and Rav actually holds, what do you mean? There's two witnesses that he's dead. Who cares if he walked into the room? That's nuts. That's what we think Rav is saying. So, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, where they're ready to believe that these Bavliim will say the most insane things, they all burst out laughing. Ota Gavre Vikoi. Here the man is standing right here in the room, and he's her first husband, and you're saying, well, it's okay, no problem. She can stay married to this other guy because we have witnesses that he's dead. Don't be fooled by that man standing in front of you. He is actually dead. We have witnesses. So how is this possible? So obviously, let's try to understand, like, what would Rav possibly mean? It must mean that the guy walks in and claims to be her husband, but the peasant doesn't know it's her husband. And she's saying it's not her husband. So lo tzricha de lo yadina lei. We have no idea who the guy is. Well, I understand. So then if we don't know who he is, why is Rav saying that if there were two witnesses, then she doesn't have to go out? And if she was married, I'll be eight echad with Eter Bezdin, she does have to go out because some guy walks in and claims to be her husband. I mean, why in the world would that be a reason? What was the name of that movie? Summer By, right? Exactly this case. Guy walks in, claims to be her husband. Okay. So maybe it should be exactly the same. I mean, why does Rav say that it makes an afkamina, whether it's al piyed echad al pishnei eden? Beit echad amaytate say. There's no hakash of his edus by a guy's presence that is not identifiable. No, wait a minute. Things are more complicated than that. The truth is that we don't know who the guy is. And the wife doesn't know, or she claims, I have no idea who this guy is. And there are two people that walked in with this guy, and they say, ladies, or the one wife, if there's only one, lady and gentlemen, we are very sorry to inform you that this old, broken down, unrecognizable shell of a man is the guy that left here 20 years ago and is your husband. What? Yes, but he doesn't look anything like him. We've been with this guy for the past 20 years. We watched all of this happen to him as he became crippled with arthritis, bashed up in that automobile accident, carrying his scars with him. He was the boxer. And yes, indeed, every place that he went, he carried a reminder. So you don't recognize him. That's your problem. But we can tell you this is the boxer. Atonu de lo yaditula. You don't recognize him. That's your problem. So he doesn't look the same. Look, doesn't it say vayaker Yosef et achav ve'em lo ikiru? We see that such things are possible. Here Yosef is standing right in front of them. And they say, I don't know, no idea. They have no idea who he is. And they truly have no idea who he is. And why is that? Because there's some little change. Amrav Chista, Balamishiyat Sabalo Chatimat Zakan, Ubabi Chatimat Zakan. So, I mean, if we're telling you that this is the boxer, I mean, why shouldn't you believe us that this is the boxer? Okay, so then I understand. So then basically we now have a Hakasha. It's true that Hakasha is not the presence of the guy, but it's the two witnesses who claim that this guy is still alive and this is her husband. So we have two witnesses who say the husband drowned, and we have two witnesses who say, no, the husband is perfectly alive, and here he is in front of you. So that's called Hakasha. So why does Rav say that she doesn't have to go out from her second husband? I mean, what's the halakha over there? If somebody would sleep with this woman, second husband sleeps with this woman, so he's going to have to bring an Ashram Tawi every time he sleeps with her, because with Trey or Trey, you don't know whether this woman is Asura or Muteret. The Besdin is going to allow a woman to remain married to a guy that is going to be Machayev and Ashram Tawi anytime he sleeps with her? That's crazy. That's an Asur marriage. Omer of Sheshes, no, wait a minute. Suppose she was married to one of the witnesses, and they were the ones who said, this guy is dead. They don't have to bring an Ashram Tolui because they know for a fact that it's a perfectly kosher marriage. Well, we're going to force a guy to get divorced because we think we don't know. So what if we don't know? An Ashram Tolui by definition is where a person feels some guilt at doing what he's doing because he's not sure. But over here, the guy is sure. All right. But what about her? She's not sure. She's got two witnesses. So how can we allow her to remain in this marriage if she's going to be chayevet at Ashram Tolui? Says the Gemara, she is sure. It's talking about over here where she says, borili, I am absolutely sure that this guy is not my husband. So Rashi says, maybe she had simanim. She says, listen, my husband had a big scar on the left of his temple, and this guy does not. This is not my husband, I'm telling you. I know for a fact. So she's not going to be chayeves and Hashem tolu either. So fine. So why should we force her, says Rob? Why should we force her? We're talking about Bomer's Barili. Well, now, wait a minute. If that's the case, then what's the chiddush of Rav? I mean, now you're bringing me a situation where we have trei u'trei. We have no reason to force them to be apart because each one of them is not going to be chayav and Hashem Tolu. So then Rav is not saying anything. For God's sake, even Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi, who is the one that is machmir in these situations, and he holds that wherever there's any kind of question about whether a marriage is muteret or asura, he says that the best that is going to force you to go apart. But he only said that if you did something wrong in the first place. So friends, what he was talking about is in a case, kishabo edim. First, the edim came. Now we're in Besdin. And the woman is saying, I'm sure. And this guy who wants to marry is one of the edim. There, the Besdin will say, listen, we're not sure. And we're not being matir this marriage. And then they go ahead and they get married on their own. So over there, Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi said, well, we're going to make them separate. But he only said that where first the Edom came and then she got married. But if first she got married and then the Edom came, even he didn't say, Rabbi Nachum, Rabbi Yossi, even he never said that she should be yotze. The Tanya, here's where the situation was. Not Machlokas I'm referring to. Shnayim Omrim Meit, V'Shnayim Omrim Lo Meit. Straight out, Hakasha of witnesses, right? So, or let's say, Shnayim Omrim Nitgarsha, Shnayim Omrim Lo Nitgarsha. Question, is she a divorcee or she's not? Is she still married to her first husband? So over there, she's not allowed to get married. Arezu Lotina Seit. What if she does get married without asking? Imni Seit. So then, since we don't know, we can't force her to leave him because, and it explains over there that the case is, because she married one of the Edim, and she says, I know for a fact that I am this Garsha, and so on. I know for a fact that my husband died. Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi says, no, we're going to force her to leave. But, says Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi himself says, when am I saying you have to force her to leave? Imatai omer tetz, ani omer tetzay. That's only where first the Besdin said, look, you can't get married. And then she goes there and gets married. Then we force her to get divorced. But if before the witnesses ever arrived, to be makish, the first witnesses who said her husband died. So she went ahead and got married. So now that we have a hakasha, and she knows because she married the witness, if then, akakach boedin. Harezu lo tetzei. So I understand we know this halakha. Why do we need Rav to tell me something that everybody is made it to in the brides and the machlokes tanoim? What's Rav getting involved in this for? It's obvious that that's the halacha, right? Answers the Gemara, no, you don't understand. Rav was talking bedafka about a case where she got married after the Edom came. So even though Rav, the way Rav phrased it then was very misleading, because Rav said, you know, when did the Mishnah say that was only Beit Echad, but this isn't what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah was talking about a case where she was married, and then the witnesses came, obviously, because then it says, if the husband shows up, so then she has these 16 things, right? So that means she was already married. So Rav is very misleading. But what Rav meant to say was that basically, look, I want you to know, I'm not talking about our Mishnah. I'm just saying that in the opposite case, in the Mishnah's case, there was one witness. And she married him before anybody came around to make us doubt the one witness. So there, we're talking about she has to leave in if the guy shows up, even if afterwards the husband shows up, obviously. But I want to tell you that in the case where we had two witnesses and other witnesses came and she hadn't even gotten married yet, that in that case, even there, she can stay married. So in other words, Rav was coming to juxtapose the two extreme cases because he wanted you to know the halacha is not like Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. And even if Besdin said, don't get married, and you did get married, and in this case where there's no chashash of Hashem Tolu and everybody knows what they're doing, that Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi is wrong. We pass it like the Tanakama, and they can stay married. Or others say that maybe the point over here is that Rav was trying to tell you, Dafka, that it is the case in the Mishnah. So in other words, in the case of the Mishnah, where first she got married and then the Edim came, then she doesn't have to be Yotze in this case where they were makish each other. But had the Edim come first and then she got married, then she would have had to be Yotze. So Dafka, in this version, Rav was Bedafka paskening like Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi. Masiv Rava, so Rava says to Rav, you can't be right. Because we know that the Brisa says, in a case where a Kohen is doing something wrong, either he's exposing himself to Tuma, or he's married to a woman that he's not allowed to be married to, and he refuses to leave the woman, or he refuses to leave the Tuma. How do we know that Dapno, beat the guy up, get him out of there, make sure, meaning that Bezdin is responsible to get rid of him. Talmud Omar v'kidashto, Baal Korcho. Not that he should be Kadosh. You should make sure that he's Kadosh. And take whatever action is necessary to ensure the Kadosh is HaKuluna. Now, explain to me what the case is where we say Dapno. Echidami. If it's talking about that she didn't marry one of her witnesses, or that she can't say, let's say the Kohen was one of the witnesses, but she can't be certain that her husband is dead. She doesn't have no simanim or whatever. I mean, I don't need a pusik to tell me over there to dapno. Of course you have to break them up. That anytime somebody's doing an isser, you have to break them up. That's stamp part of the chiyuv of shotrim v'shotrim, v'shoftim, right? Shoftim v'shotrim. El alav, the nisit le'echad mi'edah, we're talking about that she did marry a Kohen who was one of the witnesses. She did say Bori Li. And nonetheless, we're saying, force it out. Bekatani dapno. And you said that you don't have to. Amma mafkina lamine. So we see that the Torah is telling the best and you've got to get them out of this situation, even though they both claim that they know that there's no problem. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. Rav wasn't talking about Kohanim. Kohanim is something else. Remember that we're making a special idea over here, v'kidashto. So in order to protect the Kedushas HaKohuna, the Torah gives more of a chiyav on Bezdin than the norm. But Rav wasn't talking about Kohanim. Ibo itema, when it says dapno, so we're talking about over here, the Issur Kohuna is one approach, or dapno doesn't mean to force him apart by busting him up. Dapno means to bring aid in. So that would mean separate them. So dapno, it's interesting that dapno became a modern word because of this. You know what it refers to? A little thing that you hold a baby in a bath, like those little bath, the special bath things, you know, we've got a soft, that is called a dapno because apparently it's based on dofen, which means separate this guy out. Cut it out, right? So, dapno. Okay, so then dapno doesn't mean you have to beat him up. Dapno might simply mean make sure that you put an end to the suffix by finding more witnesses. So go out and be'ed him. Dapno be'ed him. So what we need to do is try to get witnesses that will contradict what he claims he knows. Or maybe, in fact, he bite Ema, that this Bryce is talking about a case where first the Edomite showed up, and it's going like Rabbi Nachum and Rabbi Yossi, and that we understand where that comes from. Rabbi Menachem and Rabbi Yossi said that if you violated Bezdin's psak, even though you say, I know for a fact that it's okay, that we will separate you. So then it's not because of the kuluna, it's stammed up. Okay. But there's a completely different approach. Because we took for granted that when it says that she can stay married, right? I'll take say. Rav says, if she marries, I'll be shnei edim. Lo take say. She doesn't have to drop. Doesn't have to drop who? Doesn't have to drop her second husband. We thought, that's why. How could it be? The guy shows up and he doesn't have to. So we came up with this whole crazy case. You know, we don't recognize him anymore. We have witnesses that claim that he's the boxer. I mean, this is a little bit of a nutty case. Says Rav Ashi. You misunderstood the case in the first place. When Rav said lotate say, he didn't mean she shouldn't leave her second husband. He meant she shouldn't leave her first husband. And lotate say simply means lotate say mehetera harishon. That's what it means. So just like she had a heter lechatchila, which was married to her original husband. So then the fact that she went ahead and was involved with this other guy does not take off her heter, because since she relied on two edim, so why should she be considered a sota? She was basically a rape victim. These witnesses raped her. She relied on them 100%. She slept with another guy. It's not her fault. So therefore, Rav says, Lo tetzei me'etera rishon, meaning she go right back to her original husband. That's all that it means. But Rav already said that. Why would he say it again? The Mishnah said, Niseit shelo b'reshut muteret lachzor lo. So if she didn't marry based on the reshut of Beis Din, but what? But on two witnesses. So then she can go back to her first husband. And Rav said, Ravuna quoted Rav, Om Ravuna Rav, yep, that's the halacha. So then that's what Rav is saying over here. Lo tetzei me'etera rishon. She's allowed to go back to her first husband because she relied on two witnesses. That's true. Rav didn't say this on two separate occasions. It was chode michla de chaverta itma. Rav simply said what he said. Over there, that's the halacha. I don't know which one he said. I mean, but he said one of them and one of his other talmidim, therefore, applied it to the other circumstance. That's all. So when we said, yes, and Rav said the halacha is like the Mishnah that she does, yes, that's because he said this, or vice versa. It wasn't two separate occurrences. Anyway, so now, this was Rav. We now understand Rav. Okay, Shmuel says, getting back to the issue of someone who married based on an Eid Echad, that says Tetzei. Shmuel says, when we say Tetzei, we only need to be Tetzei in the event that she does not say that it's not true. So, in other words, she sees this guy. She doesn't say, this is not my husband. But if she is Mekachashto, she says, this is an imposter. Then she doesn't have to go out from her second husband. Wait, you haven't explained the case. Are we talking about that there were two witnesses that came and they said he's the boxer? So who cares if she says, no, he's not? I mean, she's not believed against Aiden. Ella must be talking about that there was only one witness that came along with the guy and said he's the boxer. So then why does she have to argue? Shmuel seems to be saying the only reason that she doesn't have to be Yotzei is because she says, I know he's an imposter. Mashma, that if she would have just been quiet, she would have been Chayeves to be Tetzei. But that's not true, because of the famous Maimer of Ula, which is extremely important to Halacha. Ula said a general rule that in any case where we are going to believe one witness against the general Chiev of the Torah to have two witnesses, it means that the Torah gave that single witness the power of two witnesses. And therefore, if a single witness comes along and he's makhish, we won't say that that's considered to be, well, it's edus mukhesha. No, it's not. One of them is believed, the one that the Torah gave this extra special power to be the equivalent of two witnesses, and one of them is ignored. So therefore, this should be this case. Omer Ula, kol makom she'emina Torah eid echad, they are the equivalent of two witnesses in terms of hakasha. So therefore, the eidus that we believe that her husband drowned is the equivalent of two witnesses. Whereas this eid that comes along to say he's the boxer is just a regular case of one witness and ein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim. So then what Shmuel would be saying would violate the whole halacha of Ula. Now note that it says, Koma kom she'emina Torah, which is apparently that the Gemara is saying that this is a deoraisa, right? Well, that works out according to the Rambam or according to the Rav and Ritva's Pshat, but doesn't work out if you hold we're only talking about a takana drabbanan like Tosfos or like Rashi. So we'd have to say according to them, even if the Torah didn't believe you, but the case is one in which you believe, so we could maybe using the word koma kom shamina Torah loosely. Answers the Gemara, you know what we're talking about over here? Not one witness. We're talking about two witnesses, but these two witnesses are not kosher witnesses. They're both puzzle witnesses. And normally we wouldn't have accepted their testimony, but The halacha is like Rabbi Nechemia. Rabbi Nechemia says, look, in any case, then what you're looking at is an attempt to establish facts rather than an attempt to establish halacha. And therefore, the general rule of Edus and Edus HaKosha and so on does not apply. So normally we would say, if you have two witnesses and you have 1,000 witnesses on the other side, it makes no difference because Trey Kameya and Trey Ke'elef, and it's the same thing as a normal Edus Mukhesha. But if what we're involved in is an attempt to ascertain the facts, then you go according to the number of people. So if 1,000 people report the event one way and only 2 people report the event the other way, so then, of course, we're going to believe the 1,000 people. It's as simple as that. Right? Okay. So then we would go, acharov deot. And in that case, if you have 2 women, let's say, who are apostle for Edus, and they went ahead and they were made against an Eid Echad, even if that Eid Echad is kosher, it would be exactly like the same case in which you had 2 men against 1 man. We would always go according to Rov Deot, because we couldn't care less whether it's a kosher witness, not a kosher witness, what it is, a man, a woman, it's all the same. Now, the truth is that we could answer Shmuel, and we could, if we understand a little bit different the way Rabbi Nechemia said it. So you could say that we're talking about a case of psulei edus, and therefore we go according to Rov Deot. Or, in fact, if an Eid Echad who was kosher would have been the one that had showed up originally, so then ein hachinami, non-kosher witnesses would not be believed against even one Eid that is kosher. So even if you would have 100 women, they would be ke'ed echad damian. But what we're talking about over here is not that an eid kosher came originally. Let's say a woman came forward and said she saw this other woman's husband died, right? And then it still makes sense what Shmuel was saying. Even though you quoted Rabbi Nechemia, you quoted him a little bit wrong. And Rabbi Nechemia was not talking about a case where it was a kosher witness. You read it like this, that koma kom she'amina Torah eid echad, and we're only trying to establish the facts, halech acharov deot. And therefore, if you have 2 women against 1 woman, it would be the same as 2 men against 1 man. Now, this is not the way we said it originally. We said that if you had 2 women against 1 man, it would also be the same as gopasarov deot. Here, we're saying it differently. All the Rabbi Nechemia said was, if they're the same status of witnesses, so you have 1 non-kosher witness against 2 non-kosher witnesses, to establish the facts, look at the Rov Deot. If it was against an Ishachad, so then we would go according to what Ula said, that kol makom shemina Torah eid echad, that's what we would do. Okay, we still haven't explained why we would want a get from the second marriage when the second marriage was a joke.